DJ York
is in the house.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Backstage, the Bachata podcast. This podcast is all about bachata and the people that define our scene. In every episode, we invite a different person and give you a unique insight into that person's life and mind. I'm Lucy, and I'm hosting this podcast together with Jan.
Hey there. Today we had the pleasure to talk to DJ York. If you're someone that is frequently going to festivals, there's just no way you haven't heard of him yet. He's literally everywhere, whether it's as an MC or as a DJ. We talked to him about the life as a DJ, and of course we had to ask him about the current and the future state of bachata music. So, without further ado, here is DJ York.
So, welcome! We have DJ York today, and we're super excited to have him on. So, DJ York, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Lucia. I'm so happy to see you. It's long time.
Tell us a bit about yourself before we start getting into it. And how did you start becoming a DJ? What got you into it?
Okay, let's go. But first of all, let me just thank you so much for having me here. For me, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. So let's talk about it. Well, I have been like related to music my whole life. I do remember that I have been kind of playing with the DJ equipment since I am around 12, 14 years old. In Venezuela, we have, that time, I don't know if they still exist, but we have like kind of mobile DJs, okay? So the DJs have the whole thing, the whole equipment, live music, like everything, right? But not like you go and set up. No, they have it like in a kind of a car that you can pull and put everywhere. So there was something that used to be there, used to exist there, and the people used to rent it for parties, right? So I got that from any of my party when I was a child, and I really liked it. So it really took my attention. Then later on, as I say, when I was like 12 years old or something like that, a friend of mine, who was older than me, bought all the equipment, and we started to play with it. At that time, I wasn't that interested about it, but I kind of had fun with it. It wasn't until I was in the university that I started playing for my friends, and I really take it seriously, but still for friends. And then later on, I started to play in Latin clubs. The history about it, just to put it short, was like this. I am in a club, I am partying, and suddenly the music stopped. I see the owner of the club fighting with the DJ. He was screaming, I won't play anymore. The party finished. The owner was really, really angry. And suddenly I feel someone pulling my arm and bringing me in front of the owner and saying, this guy is a DJ, you should hire him. So that was my first real gig about it. And yeah, now I'm here, DJing all around the world.
Wow. Okay, that's really awesome. So you started already automatically in the Latin scene when it came to DJing.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I won't call Latin scene because I won't consider that I was a DJ at the time, even though that I was already playing and mixing whatever and so on. But I used to play other kind of rhythms, right? I was in an international university with people from all around the world, so I used to play like everything. And that's something also about me, that I love music no matter what, no matter what, from where you come from, whatever. I love just music. Sounds good. I like it. So, but definitely the first real gig I had was with the Latin accent.
But nowadays you mostly play bachata, right? Or at least that's how I know DJ York.
Yeah. Yeah. There you have. Yeah. I became famous as a bachata DJ. That before of that, In the dance community, I didn't came in the dance community as a bachata DJ. I came in as a salsa DJ. There are some artists that know me as a salsa DJ.
Really?
Yeah, really. And then for a couple of reasons, I moved to bachata, and here I am. One of the reasons is that bachata is a music that I have been listening to my whole life, okay? So, and then when I came to Germany, I was brought to a couple of bachata parties, bachata festivals, and I was like, okay, I love this music and I can play this music. And I saw also the potential. I won't lie to you. I saw the potential, the market commercial. There was a difference between the bachata and the salsa scene, and still today, even though that we have grown a lot in salsa scene, we add a lot of DJs and are really good DJs. So, what I mean, they know a lot about salsa. They know about the gender. They know the gender. I mean, music genre. So anyway, so they know a lot about the music genre, and it's hard to shine among them because they are really, really good at what they do. in the bachata sense, there were not that amount of DJs, especially in Germany.
When was that?
It was 2000, put it 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago. We're in 2013.
So mostly salsa DJs back then.
Yeah. Especially Germany is like quite well known for the salsa DJs. But there were no bachata DJs coming from here playing in a board festivals. No, that never happened.
So for how long were you a salsa DJ?
Like with the salsa community, I would say 2 years, something like that. Yeah, I can see my first festival was playing salsa. Yeah, if I am not wrong. Damn, I gotta remember so many things. But yeah, my first festival was a salsa. Even though that I used to play a lot of salsa because the first clubs, Latin clubs related to the dances that I used to play, there was Cuban club. I was playing salsa mostly than other things. That was before moving into the festival things, before moving into the bachata.
So you're also an amazing dancer, and being a DJ means, you know, that you have less time dancing. Was there ever a point where you had to make a decision, like, okay, I'm a DJ now, so I cannot spend as much time anymore to dance?
I know what you mean, but the truth is that it's time enough. When you party hard enough, as Lucia does, there is time enough to DJ and dance. Well, no, for real. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. But the truth that DJ never is coming to of dancing. I dance on the spot when I'm DJ. My feet never stops. And also, every time that I have the opportunity, I go to the dance floor. I really enjoy to dance to the sets of my colleagues. So I am from the beginning of the night until it closes.
So you don't feel that DJing hindered your progression as a dancer?
Well, it could be. Like, for example, I have been to so many congresses, and because I am DJing and also DJing normally, you know, we have other kind of calendar related to, in comparison to dancers. I go to bed at 9 a.m., so don't expect me to wake up at 10 a.m. to go to workshops. Thing that I would like to do, okay? So maybe in that way, I would say. But on the other hand, since I am being booked every weekend, every single weekend, I am in festivals every weekend, so I have a lot of time to practice.
But then, you know, so when you're DJing, you continue to dance behind your deck, so you don't feel the need that or the urge to go on the dance floor. You're happy in your space.
I say that. I mean, if you're a DJ, you cannot even dance to your music. I don't think you're doing something right. So for me, it's like, yeah, I got to enjoy no matter what.
So when you usually start something, so when you DJ at the beginning, you get your inspiration from other DJs in the scene. You know, you try to develop your own style, and it can take quite a long time before you get where you want to be. So you can see where you want to be as a DJ and the style you want to have. But how did you see your development, you know, through bachata? How did you, in the beginning, you practice, you take on inspiration from others, but then at one point you want to make your own style and your own voice, let's say. How did you go about that? How did that develop?
Well, that is a really good question. Ones that I haven't get so far. So to put two things. I think I understand it this way. Okay. One is about the style. Okay. And one is how do you see the development of your career? You are in A right now. How is going to be the future for you, right? So about the style, as you say, definitely I have a couple of people that really, really, really give me a lot of knowledge. I call them my DJ masters. Funny history, one of them when I was playing in Latin, let's call it urban clubs, right? Party clubs. He saw a flyer of mine because someone booked me to another party and they put on that thing, DJ York. So he came to me and asked me like, hey, since when are you a DJ? Because I was the guy who used to open and close the night. I wasn't a DJ. I was just open the night and closing the night for him. He was the DJ on the club. And then the clubs, the DJ is the star. So since when are you a DJ, right? So I was saying that, but for me, it was a process, okay? For me, literally, it was a process of to talk time, practice. I got different masters from different styles. I got this Thomas, Jimmy the Urban. I got DJ Nestor, who for me was the guy that really influenced my way to be a DJ, teaching me also club things, but more related to the social dance sense. And as you say, I put all that things together and I started to develop my style. My style is definitely influenced by the dance sense, the dance community, which is the one I love. And I really stepped down for the live clubs to the dance sense. I pretty much love it, even though that it doesn't have the same advantages, but I love it. So the thing is, funny thing, right? I went to this bachata festival, right? And I go like, okay, I will kill it tonight. So I will start mixing and killing it, right? So I dropped one song and I mix it 1 minute after the song started, and 1 minute after I mix again, and I thought I was killing it. Until I saw the dance floor and everybody was looking at me that they want to kill me. And then I got it from the organizer that the people don't, DJs don't do that because the people don't like that in the social dances. Something that I learned now that I'm a dancer, you know, when you listen so much, people in the clubs, they know the lyrics. We know the musicality of the song. So when you cut me the song in the middle, when there is a break, I will kill you, because there was a time that I was expecting, I was waiting the whole 1 minute to do, right? So it definitely started to change my way of mixing, right? I started to like, I cannot cut the songs, but I can maybe blend some ends. There are some songs like, you know, Hector Acosta, which finishing, Se murió! You cannot cut that. If you cut that, the people is going to kill you, right? This is special. But maybe if you have a song like Amor Eterno from Danny J, and you have this song too from Chino y Nacho, which is have violins from at the end and the beginning of the other, you can blend that thing, right? You don't cut the song, but you blend the end with the beginning. And this was a development, and it definitely made my style. That's related with the DJ skills, the DJ music, but also, you know, something that I see a lot in salsa DJs now, in the bachata with the bachata DJs is happening too. But salsa DJs, they only have an instrument in their hand. They only have a bell. They always have maracas. They only have clave with them. Always. I used to have my whole instrument with me. They used to travel with me all around. They used to be in the club and give it to whatever it asked for them. And also, I have my guira. So I brought my guira with me to the festival. Thing that DJ Nestor also used to do. Actually, he was the one to start teaching me with the guira. And I see now a lot of DJs doing it too. I don't want to say that I was the first one, but definitely one of the first one I saw in this dance community playing guira while they were DJing. So those small things added to my personality, to what DJ York is, and made it my style. About my career, I don't know if that was what you were asking, but basically, I started, as I say, in the clubs, right? I started playing these Latin clubs. Maybe at the beginning they have like 20 people, and I was happy with that. My next goal was to have 30 people there. And when I got 40, I was going bananas, right? The day that we got 100 in that club, I was like, I feel like DJ Guetta, right? So, and then I discovered the festivals, right? And the people brought me to the festivals, and I started playing in a small festival. For me at the time were big enough, which was, they were bigger than the clubs that I used to play, and I was happy with that. And I just keep moving and moving and moving until I was in Croatia playing for 5,000 people, right? But it wasn't never like I woke up today and say, I want to be in Croatia. Actually, I didn't know about it.
But was there a moment when you realized that, you know, you made it?
Definitely, bro. Definitely, bro. And in two opportunities. One was Bachatea in Spain. That is dope. I don't know how much people were that day, but it was the biggest edition they had. And I was, I think, let's say 5,000, maybe more people. When I was there playing in front of that amount of people, which was the first time that I played for that amount of people, I was like, wow, I made it. I feel like, wow, something changed, right? But I am a believer of, we are here today in as a career, right? You are here today, we are on the top, but tomorrow you can be on the bottom. Things can change that fast. So, no, even though that I feel like, wow, I'm here, for me, it wasn't like, now I can relax. No, for me, it was like, I have to give now the triple, 10 times more energy that I used in Best before. And then Croatia came to me, and I the thing that I... that more excited me about it, it wasn't the size of it, but the reputation it had. Because I know that there were a lot of DJs wanted to get into it, and I was one of the few. I get to know this, know when they booked me. Weeks after that, when I started to tell the people that I was going there, they were like, wow, real? So I started to realize the weight, the importance of that gig. And I remember, I think to myself, the day before I have to play, that I would take a funny thing about it, I was asking myself, I am ready. I am ready to do this. Because for me, it was clear that if they open for me that door and I fucked it up, the door will close and never open again. That's why I always encourage people to take it easy and take time and be ready for the things. Because maybe you can ask somebody and somebody can do a favor for you to open a door. But if you are not ready, you will make a mistake. That door will close and never open again. So that's what it is. The funny thing about my first time playing in Croatia was that Alitalia lost my equipment and my clothes. I didn't have equipment and clothes. The airline lost it. So I was DJing with a shirt from the festival and with a DJ DJ table from another DJ from the festival, which had everything broken. Everything was broken on it. So it was a quite exciting night. Well, I haven't said that in years. In the history, I haven't told it to anyone and I don't know how long, but yeah.
Right now you're doing this full time?
Yeah. Yeah, I started doing it full time. And I was like 60% in it on the paper because I have two jobs. But literally, I was working every weekend at this. And since March this year, I decided finally to do it 100% because I had my whole year booked for it. But Corona.
You know, it just opened new doors, right? New opportunities.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I should say I am like really like, it's really getting to me, really getting to me. Because the thing we see is like things are going up and down, and there is no clear image of when everything is going to get solved. And it's especially affecting our community. Our community is like literally the first one to be closed and the last to be open. So it's kind of getting worried, but we have to stay positive, keep being conscious and careful, and maybe we're going to get out of this soon.
So does DJing fully take over your life, or do you also have time for other hobbies, things you like to do? Or is it really a lifestyle, like a full-on?
It's a lifestyle. It is 100%. Your whole surroundings change. Your friends around you, the friends you used to have, they may be there, but they are far away, because you know when you are investing all the time for these, you don't have time. Or maybe what happens where the time where the friends meet are in weekends, right? It's where the times go and have barbecue together, but you cannot be there because you are traveling, right? So it's hard to keep relationship going. DJ life really take over you. If you want to do it 100%, if you want to do it right, it's going to take over you.
And do you see this for like full-time on and on and on? So I don't know how far into the future. Do you think it's something you can sustain, this lifestyle?
Well, let's see how you're doing. You're really, really hard questions in the really wrong time. The thing is, if you ask me that on March this year, I will tell you 100%. Yeah, I believe so. Right now, we are going in a hard time. So even though that I try to be positive, even though that I believe myself to be really positive, I have to rethink things, right? Because this is definitely going to change how we face the future after this thing. We are going, we go over this thing, right? I think it's a process. I think you get into it as a DJ. And then maybe you become kind of DJ organizer, and then you finish being an organizer that play from time to time. I've seen that with a lot of my friends that they are professional DJs and they have family, and most of them they have clubs, right? That's what they do. Either you can become this for the people that are DJ producers and they are really good and they can live from the music. But if you want to live from this, as the only DJ, maybe they may be example of DJs with 50 years old that keep rocking the wall and living from this, but it's not natural.
Well, you do more than just DJing. You're emceeing as well. That's a whole different world.
This is a whole different world. That for sure. I think you can be doing it longer maybe than a DJ. Yeah, they when that MC door opened for me, actually, there is a hundred of possibility of what you can do from them.
So now you want to go more into the organizational aspect, or did I get that wrong?
No, now I see it for the future. I see it as a plan for the future. If you are looking for towards stability, if you are maybe getting tired of stepping into a plane and traveling every weekend, you know, that you gotta do some changes. So that's why I say it, like, for the future, for the long run. Right now, I feel like I can rock. I keep rocking parties, more 50 years more.
So DJing and MCing right now, maybe in the future getting more into the organizational role. But of course, a big aspect is also producing your own music to really establish yourself as a musician. Do you have any plans there? Are we going to hear more DJ York originals?
They are coming. Definitely, they are coming. They are coming. But something that I have to be clear, and I have been realizing, I've been thinking about it a lot during the quarantine. You know, in the commercial world that we have out there, talking about urban, techno, whatever and so on, definitely for DJs, especially in the techno world, right? You need to be a producer if you want to make a big name of yours, right? In the urban sense, like talking about hip hop music, that is not like this. Okay, you don't have to. The way you play the music you select is what make your name as a DJ. That's my opinion about it. And for me, the social dance community should be that way too. I think if you, in my case, right, I came in as a DJ, and DJ is still my focus, and it will be my focus even though that I am emceeing, even though that I'm doing collaborations, whatever and so on. But I believe that DJ, if at the end of the day, I'm getting booked to play for people at parties. So first, I want to become the best DJ that I can, okay, rather than be producing music. That's my case. That is, there are other DJs which are more producers than even DJs, and they want to focus on that because it's the thing they love the most. And there are few, really, really few people that can do both properly at the high level, at the level that the people are requesting right now. Because for real, the level of the productions are so high nowadays, as it should be. So I'm really happy for that. That if you want to do it, rather you do it properly or you focus on another thing. But if for real, I mean, if production is the love, is the thing that you love the most, then go ahead and put 100% of your time, because it's not easy. So once I say that, because I really, 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 the thing that I want the most after this corona thing end is that organizers also start recognizing the value of the DJs as a DJ. So the people don't feel temptation of, okay, I will be producer, so I get finally recognized. No, I want the people to show that, like, you as a DJ, you can be recognized as I am. Because to be 100% honest, I was already traveling and DJing in festivals abroad even before I did the first collaboration with DJ Manoj Chitra. So it's possible. It's possible. And related to now to the production, yes, there are more coming collaborations with DJ Manoj Chitra, of course. And also I finally getting to the level where I can produce on my own to the level that I want. Okay. I can produce right now what we call bongo chatas and put it out there, but that is not right for the people. I think this is not okay for the people. I have standards. And I have, even though I have to respect my standards. I have to be loyal to my standards. So I'm finally getting to the level that I say, okay, I can produce this on my own, okay? And keep my collaborations with some musicians and people that can do them, like high professional producers that can do the mastering, whatever and so on. I don't know if you know these words for production, okay? Just putting that out there if someone is interested. So finally, I'm getting to that level. And I will keep going on it. Okay. So there are soon, really soon, there will be coming DJ George songs as a solo. This is something that DJ Manu Chitro have been pushing me a lot. Like, come on, George, you are ready. Get out there. But I don't believe myself to be ready, even though he believes that I'm ready. But I prefer keep it. You know, the Americans say it's like when something is working, don't touch it. And these collaborations with DJ Manu Chitro have been going really, really well. We have two songs coming soon that I believe this is the songs that are more related to me. The songs that you can say, okay, DJ York is in that song, is that one. That's the two collaborations coming with my brother, DJ Manu Chitro. One with Blaze and one with Prophex. They're called Afrochatas.
Oh, I'm excited.
Are they going to be remixes or originals?
They are not remixes. They are basically covers, bachata versions, you can call them.
Like DJ Khalid is doing.
Exactly. We believe we should also move towards that direction. For many reasons. For example, there are singers, there are a lot of new talents, bachata singers. They are trying to make a career within the bachata world. And their focus, they came to our community, which is not the big ones. When we talk about bachata, we are the smallest thing ever. There are a lot of Latin people and random people that listen to bachata out there. And they are bigger than us. But even though they came to our community to make a career, right? They want to do collaborations with us. So we believe we have to support those artists. So if I wanna do a song, like El Boom Pa Que Mueva El Boom Pa Que Mueva El Boom, which is originally a dembow song, right? If we want to make a bachata, we can find the acapella, right? We can produce a bachata from it. But at the end of the day, we'll be working for Bad Bunny and Chimbala, right? Or in this case, Chimbala. We don't want to work for them. We don't want to make them more famous. They already are. We want to bring people to the dance, to our community, to the bachata world, support new artists. That's why in both songs, we have new singers singing to them. Okay? That's why we made out of it a bachata version. The one, the Boon, which is a original Chimbala dembow song, will be singing by Blaze. And the Príncipe, this is an original one. This is the lyrics and the melody is from Prophex. So we have a bit of both, but definitely we are kind, almost all of us are moving towards that direction, like creating bachata versions of the song. And just a small hint for the producers out there: if you do it that way, you can earn more money from your production.
Yeah, and you can put them on Spotify.
Yeah. I think we are all the community is really developing in towards the right direction. I have been seeing, and I believe that we have to keep evolving and getting better and better, professional quality wise. So when you when you see that you can just go to iTunes or in your Instagram histories, search for your favorite song from DJ Manu Chitro, DJ George, whatever song, because it's there, it's amazing. So let's keep doing that. Rather than putting a song that you can only put on YouTube and maybe will get deleted. So,
yeah, but also the quality of the music, of your music, is going to be better. Like you mentioned Bongo Chata before, which is essentially just you take a song and you slap the bongos on it.
Yeah, they are different level to Bongo Chata.
Yeah, and some people have very strong opinions about it.
Yeah, definitely, bro. Definitely. Because, for example, yeah, like most of people, right? Even in our beginnings, and I keep doing this where every time that I want to tune, like maybe a reggaeton song, whatever song, I want to create like an intro outro for it. I take the song, I filter it, I create almost like a cappella, and I work with it. But the quality of it is really bad. But even though if you find the a cappella of the song, which is just the voice of the singer singing to the song, you have to change the tempo of that song, right? You have to change the BPM of the song. And it will also affect, it will start to sound robotic. So if you have someone singing again to it with the bachata feeling, it have no price. It just sounds different. One good example of it is, you know, the collaboration, the song we did together with Manu Chitro and Kevin Cosmos. The original song is como los 90, is a reggaeton from Kevin Cosmos. And we work with it. He even sent me the a cappella when we started working on it. And then when he sing it again over it, it just changed. It becomes something different. It becomes the hit that it is nowadays. So definitely to sing it again is a huge improvement. Now going to what you say, the bongo chata. Yes, but like just taking a song, because there is, as I said, there are different levels to bongo chata. There is the worst level, which is basically they take the original song and they put the bongos to each in out of tempo, in bad places. They are not respecting, like in the chorus should be mahao, ta, 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 and in the verses should be derecho. They don't know about it. They just put it over, boom, and they go, they roll with it. There are others that they bother to find the a cappella and they put it just bongos, but they forget about maybe bongo y guira and maybe a bad bass, but they forgot about the guitars. They forgot about so many things, right? Which the guitars are the soul of a bachata. It's the soul of a bachata. You cannot take them out. You can maybe change it for other instruments. You can put a piano cable on instead, like Soltrix used to do, but Soltrix nowadays, he's putting guitars to it. Different guitars, they are playing in a different way because it had really changed with Aventura. The guitarist started to play in a more modern way, not that traditional way, but they have to be there. Both of them, primera y segunda guitarra. So if you're not putting all of that, for me, the work is incomplete. And then you're doing bongo chata. And I think we should move further.
Yeah, and it's also a good way to stand out as a musician. But it's much harder. It takes much more skill as opposed to just slapping on, you know, the bongos on the track.
Definitely, but you know, and that is what is happening. That's why I encourage the people, like if today you want to become a producer, then you have to do it for real. And to do it for real, it takes a lot of work, hard work and time, believe me. Because before, when there were no much bachata remixes out there, the people was happy with the bongo chatas. The bongo chatas were okay for them. But now, nowadays, they are really good producers. There are a lot of producers and really good producers out there. So for you to step out of them, to step up and to see the people to see you like, hey, I'm here. You got to do the work at least as good as they're doing it. So you got to do it properly, bro or sister out there. Yeah. A friend of mine, she's becoming a producer. She's working hard on it. So please, I want to see more ladies as DJs and producers.
So any other tips for the DJs that are starting off?
One of the advice that I say all the time to everybody, don't go crazy. I mean, take your time. Don't get frustrated so fast. I know today is hard because the social networks, right? Facebook, Instagram. You are starting as a DJ, and every day you open your Instagram, you see a picture of a DJ with I don't know how many people in front of you, and then you see yourself playing in your small club for 5 people. I know how it feels, but use it more as a motivation, as a frustration, and take your time, because what I say, if you keep running and taking shortcuts and not going through the things that you have to go through, you may get there, and as I say, they open the door, you fuck that up because you are not ready, and they close the door, and bye-bye. They won't open it again. They will give the opportunity to somebody else. So that's why I always encourage, like, do things properly. Today, I see, I am a street DJ. I went to clubs, I heard that the hard way, on the spot, making mistakes, whatever. Now DJs, there is like a new generation of DJs in the social dance community. They are going to academies. They are taking private lessons. I have private students. People that come to me, I give them privates to teach them what I know. And so to really like invest in your career and invest is the most money you put in your career, the more money you can take out of it. It's like everything in life. So you got to invest. You got to prepare yourself. You got to learn. You got to teach yourself. Do all of that and don't go crazy. Chill. enjoy the ride, enjoy the ride. Believe me. And one day you will open your eyes and you will be in a big festival in front of a lot of people. But just one last thing, the amount of people doesn't matter. I have been in a really small festivals, in a really small dance floors, and I had a lot of fun. Today, from time to time, I love to play in huge festivals, but I kind of miss and enjoy more when I have the opportunity to be in a small festival when you can socialize with the people, you can interact with the people. This is social dance, the same. We are about socializing. I am about socializing. So when I am in a small event, when you can really get to know the people, really feel the people, not just a massive thing moving, but you can see the single people and maybe realize like, oh, that group of them like sensual, that group of them like Dominican. So you start to play with them. So enjoy that because it does have positive.
So also a lot of people, I think everyone actually knows you as a party animal, as the entertainer, you know, the life of a party, because you do really bring up the life in a room. But what is something that people wouldn't expect you to do, or something that doesn't really fit the DJ York image?
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, the people get really surprised when I tell them that I used to work in a university until March. They say like, yeah, I work in the week in the university. What? Yeah, for real. Yeah, I do research. Yeah. I'm an engineer. For real, yes. I'm doing my PhD. What? So that is one of the things. And the other thing more related to what you say, like a party animal, whatever. So yes, I am. I party hard. I don't fake it. My body asks for it to party hard. But here at home, I am really calm. I like to be at home. I like to be cozy. I like to cook. I like to chill. I really like to take it easy. And that's why I live in the town where I live, which is surrounded by cows and pigs and trees, because there is a lot of calm here.
So thank you so much, DJ York, for being here with us, for sharing all your, well, just experiences and tips. It was really nice. How can people follow you? Where can they follow you? Where can they see more of your music? Tell us.
Well, really easy. Go and follow me on Instagram under DJ York, like New York _ER from El Romantico. I will tell that history in the next interview. And on Facebook under DJ York, okay? I'm currently doing this. This is like subliminal advertisement. You never realize what's there, but it's what's there. You know, getting into your mind. So this is the show, mi gente. This is something that I'm doing live on Facebook. Almost every Saturday, I'm playing live, inviting people to dance with me live. It's quite a thing. So this is the things. And definitely on both my social network, on Instagram, on Facebook, you will get as soon as possible the new notification of when my new songs are coming out. But I'm telling you, really, really soon. They are summer songs, so you're going to enjoy them during the summer, I hope.
So that was it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening in. We hope you liked it, and we hope you are looking forward to more episodes of us in the future. If you like our podcast and you would like to support us, then please subscribe to it. And if you are on Apple Podcast, make sure to write us a review so we get some feedback from you. We know what you like, maybe what you don't like, so we can always keep improving the show. And if you would like to get some extra content and insights into behind the scenes, then make sure to follow us on Instagram. Our name there is backstage.podcast. All right. Thank you so much, and catch you in the next one. Peace.